This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. Well, we're talking about Christmas, getting ready for Christmas, and I wonder what you want for Christmas. That's a question that everybody's interested in. It's a question we ask our children. The answer is often somewhat surprising. I asked my little five-year-old, what do you want for Christmas? And she was very specific. It was not a doll that walks, not a doll that's 5 foot tall, turns around and walks back. She said, I do not want a doll that eats real food and burps. I do not want a doll that says 18 different things when you pull the string. She said, I want a doll I can cuddle. Isn't it lovely to be able to give gifts to our children? That's a real privilege. What an amazing amount of time not only children but everybody else spends dreaming of the gifts they want. I can remember when I was a child getting up with my sisters at 4:30 in the morning one Christmas because we had it all worked out that it was going to take from 4:30 till 8 o'clock to do everything that we needed to do before my parents got up. It was going to take, 10 minutes to put on our socks, and at least 15 minutes to put on our underclothes and pants and shirts and so on. And then it was going to take about 20 minutes to tie our shoes. Of course, we got up at 4:30, and all that was done in about 30 seconds. And we wondered what to do with the rest of the time. And people are dreaming of gifts. Gifts, that's what Christmas has become to our culture at large. We've taken the gift of God's Son, and we've allowed it to be eclipsed by the material gifts that we give to each other. Now, I'm not entirely lamenting that. As I said at the outset, it's a pleasure and it's a privilege to be able to give gifts to each other and to our loved ones and to our friends. If you do it in the right spirit, it's a lovely extension of the fact that we have been so richly blessed ourselves. But I'd like us to think about the best gifts. Contrast them with some of the inappropriate gifts. You know the story that O. Henry wrote about the gift of the Magi. It's a touching story about the lady who sold her very long hair in order to buy a watch fob for her husband, and he in turn sold his watch in order to buy her combs for her hair. Powerful story, touching story. It has an ironic twist to it when you realize that O. Henry wrote it in a drunken stupor, just dashed it off in order to get some money. There is an inappropriateness to some of the gift giving, isn't there? So many times we give a gift and it turns out somehow to miss the mark. The little girl wants a bicycle and we want to give her a dress instead and make her look feminine. The boy who wants a basketball and his father gives him a BB gun. What he really wanted was a basketball. But his father had a different image of what he ought to have and somehow missed the mark. I wonder if any of you fathers have given electric trains to your three-year-olds and then not allowed them to play with them lest they break them. I could relate to that personally. How about the wife who gives her husband a book with the words, "Now let me know when you're finished because I really want to read it." The one I really like is the husband who gives his wife a trash masher. You just have to stop and think about that for a minute. What makes for a good gift? What makes for an appropriate gift? Well, I have three readings this morning. I hope you'll indulge me. They're each brief, and they're rather startling readings. The first one is from Paul Tournier. You may know he's a great Swiss psychologist, a Christian psychologist. And this is what he said. The great gift, the unique and living one, is not a thing, but a person. It is Jesus Christ himself. In him, God has given himself, no longer just things which he creates or has created, but his own person, his own suffering, his own solitude given unto death itself. He declared it himself just before turning to face his cross, quote, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend, unquote. This gift of all gifts is the self-commitment of God himself, who carried it through to the bitter end so that we may entrust ourselves to it. What makes for a good gift and an appropriate one, it seems to me that it's a gift that conveys the fact that what we're really giving is ourselves. Isn't that true, that even if you give a thing that somehow misses the mark, if in the process the recipient knows that that's an expression of your love and your concern and your desire to give yourself, then that gift becomes a very blessed thing. And I thank God for Tournier and for the fact that as a psychologist, as a very profound psychologist, he sees that reality begins in the incarnation. It begins in the stable in Bethlehem. Just think of it. God dreamed up the idea of Christmas, and he could have given us so many other things, you see. He could have filled our lives with the baubles that society would press upon us. And you and I living here in America, in fact, get that as well. But that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is the gift of the God who gave himself. The unique, the perfect gift. Think of the vulnerability of God entrusting himself to us, first as a helpless infant like any other, supernaturally conceived, but born like any other, in fact, born under extremely humble circumstances. No modern hospital, no nurses and doctors attending the birth, not even a proper room, just a stable, a feed box of a donkey, some swaddling clothes. And then he lived his life among us, and we read that he had no place to call his own, no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, he said, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. God entrusting himself to us in utter vulnerability. The God who created the universe, who holds the stars in the palm of his hand, making himself vulnerable and coming among us. But you know, it's perhaps the peculiar characteristic of a gift, of any gift, that it must be received as well as offered. Søren Kierkegaard was a great 19th century Danish theologian, and he said this. He said, in paganism, man made God into a man, the man God. But in Christianity, God makes himself a man, the God-man. But in the infinite love of his compassionate grace, he nevertheless made one stipulation, and he can do no other. This is precisely the sorrow in Christ, that he can do no other. He can humble himself, take the form of a servant, suffer and die for man, invite all to come unto him, sacrifice every day of his life and every hour of the day, and sacrifice his life itself. But the possibility that men will be offended at him, he cannot take away. O unique work of love, O unfathomable sorrow of love, that God himself cannot, does not, will not, and even if he would, could not, make it impossible that this work of love might not turn out to be for a person exactly the opposite, to be the extremest misery. And Kierkegaard sums up, for the greatest possible human misery, greater even than sin, is to be offended at Christ and remain offended. You know, if I were to offer you some lovely gift, and for whatever reason, you refused it, it still would not be yours. Now, I can have done everything to make that gift yours. Let's say I had the wealth to offer you a brand new automobile. A Rolls Royce, let's make it really extreme. I've paid for it, I've insured it, I've filled it with gas, it's registered in your name, and here I offer you the keys and say, it's yours. But for whatever reason, you don't believe it, you don't trust me, you consider yourself unworthy, whatever reason, you say, no, thank you. It isn't yours. I can have done everything as a giver, but unless you're willing to be a receiver, the gift is not yours. I'd like to suggest to you that that's the hidden agenda of Christmas, that God has done everything for us to receive a fresh start, a new life, the forgiveness of sins, the assurance of eternity with himself. He's come to us in the form of his Son. He's borne our sins in his own body on the tree. He's done everything that the gift might be ours. But unless we receive that gift and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I accept that, it really isn't ours. Don't miss that. Oh, my friend, don't miss that in the midst of all the commercial trappings of Christmas. There is a gift. It's the gift, the unique gift, the perfect gift, but it needs to be received. Will you receive that gift this Christmas time? If you've never received Christ before, don't miss the opportunity. I have one more reading. This one I found on a scrap of paper, pasted to the wall in a shoe store, and it was written by an 8-year-old girl. She said, God is like Coke. He's the real thing. God is also like Pepsi. He's got a lot to give. God is like Pan Am. He makes the going great. God is like Ford. He has a better idea. God is like the Dodge Boys. You can depend on him. God is like Dial Soap. He gives you round-the-clock protection. God is like Scotch Tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. God is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him. You'll like him. God is like Hallmark cards, because he cares enough to send the very best. Get ready for Christmas. God cared enough to send the very best, himself. But that gift needs to be received. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he came to offer you, and it truly will be a richly blessed and merry Christmas. That's the inside story.